Wow, what a great service today, don't you think? God is speaking in a variety of ways through testimony, through song, through children's talk. And God's bringing all these things together to encourage you to say, God is bigger than your anxieties. God is bigger than your fears. That God can meet you right where you are and transform you and give you hope even in the midst of darkness. I want to pray that God will keep speaking to us through his word now. Father God, we thank you that you are bigger than our problems. You are bigger than our fears, bigger than our anxieties. And by the power of your spirit and your word, you want to give us hope and confidence and courage and peace to live life for your glory. And we ask that you would encourage us, continue to encourage us this morning. Pray in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, in his book, Christian Counseling, the author, Gary Collins, tells a story, or this story in his introduction. It says, Ron was 20, healthy, handsome, and liked by his friends. He had been enrolled in a business major in a Christian college. In the middle of his final year, just before his final examinations, he dropped out. He said, I couldn't handle the anxiety, he told his family doctor. During tests, I would break out in a cold sweat. My mind would go blank. And I would forget everything I had studied. After being at school for a while, I stopped going to lectures. They were too scary because I was afraid I might forget something that would be on the test. By the end of the quarter, I was uncomfortable even going into the academic building. Then I stopped going to the coffee shop because I was afraid I would meet one of my teachers there. By the end of my time at school, I was almost too anxious to leave my room. It says, Ron is a Christian. It's a marker in his Bible in Philippians chapter 4, and he's underlined verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But despite his prayers, Ron feels no peace. In contrast, he feels panic as he anticipates looking for a job now that he is out of school. What if nobody will hire me, he wonders. What if I find a job and I can't do it? What if I get too anxious to go to work? The doctor prescribed some anti-anxiety medication for Ron and suggested he contact a counsellor. The calming effects of the tranquilizers enabled Ron to make an appointment for counselling. Together, Ron and his counsellor will try to understand the reasons for his intense anxiety. Probably they will consider ways to relax and to cope with stress, including the stress of a new job. So Ron's parents accept the idea of counselling, but they're impatient for improvement. His father is a highly successful, achievement-oriented businessman who likes to see things accomplished quickly. He has little patience with the idea of his son seeing some kind of a shrink and hopes that all of Ron's anxieties will be gone soon. Ron believes that he is the cause of much of his own anxiety. He knows too that his anxiety could have a physical basis. But he also wonders if a lot of the problem comes from the pressure exerted by his well-meaning but impatient and insensitive father. Gary Collins goes on to write these words. Anxiety, stress, fear, phobia, tension. Technically, these words have different meanings but are often used interchangeably to describe one of this century's most common problems. Anxiety has been called the official emotion of our age, the basis of all neurosis, and the most pervasive psychological phenomena of our time. It is as old as human existence, but the complexities and pace of modern life have alerted us to its presence and probably increased its influence. What is it? He writes, anxiety is an inner feeling of apprehension, uneasiness, concern, worry, and or dread that is accompanied by heightened physical arousal. In times of anxiety, the body appears to be on alert, ready to flee or to fight. The heart beats faster, blood pressure and muscle tension increase, neurological and chemical changes occur within. Sometimes perspiration appears and the person may feel faint, jumpy and unable to relax. He goes on to describe different types of anxiety. Let me just give you a quick overview of the different levels that may help you. Number one, there is normal anxiety. If you're a Greek soccer fan watching the European Championships, you would have been anxious going into your match last night against Russia. Now, following the loss, 1-0 loss, you are now out of the tournament. That's a quick way to eliminate anxiety. Go on, no need to worry about the next game against Spain because you're out, you're finished, you're done with. Go back home, European champions. But you see, it may be the new job. It may be preaching a sermon. It may be anxious about your child's performance in the football or netball game. It may be the interest rate's going higher. You're not sure how you're going to pay the loan off. Or it might be a market crash where you've just lost hundreds of thousands of dollars from your retirement. They're just normal anxieties. Normal? Maybe not. Maybe some are more severe. There is neurotic anxiety. It involves intense, exaggerated feelings of helplessness and dread, even when a danger is mild or non-existent. And they also talk about moderate and intense. Moderate can be desirable and healthy. Sometimes I ask this question, should I go when I need some money, and I think it's late at night, it's 10 p.m, should I go to Riverwood ATM at Commonwealth Bank at the ATM and withdraw money? And my protective anxiety says, why don't you go to Riverwood Plaza where there's security guards and pay an extra couple of dollars and get it from the West Bank, whatever happens to be there. Moderate anxiety protects you from danger. You see an issue, you think, well, I won't go there because it may cause danger. Sometimes it increases efficiency and helps you to avoid dangerous situations. Intense anxiety, though, is much more stressful. It shortens your attention span, makes concentration difficult, causes forgetfulness, hinders performance skills, interferes with problem solving, blocks effective communication, arouses panic, and so on. I talk about state and trade anxiety. A state anxiety is something that comes quickly. You're anxious about an issue, and then the issue finishes, and you're no longer anxious about that. Trait anxiety, and some people have this, is a persistent, ever-present, ingrained emotional tension. It is seen in people who worry all the time. Then there are much more severe types, post-traumatic stress disorders, because maybe a war situation, a rape, a violent crime, a serious accident, being part of a natural disaster in an earthquake zone, or something else like that, anxiety becomes a way of life of an earlier stress experience. You know, you may know people who are living that life today. Then what he calls anxiety disease, a term used to describe sudden, terrifying, intensely severe panic attacks that come to apparently normal people, often without warning and frequently when they are least expected. An estimated 5% of the population, mostly women, experience these panic reactions. For many years, this anxiety, he says, was assumed to be a psychological disorder, but increasing evidence now indicates that the root is biological. And I know some very close family friends who've endured those panic attacks where you feel like you cannot do anything, fear and anxiety, you cannot move. Now, there's a whole range of types of anxieties, and this is not going to be a 10-series or 10-sermon lecture series and counselling session on overcoming all types of anxieties. But just want to put that before you, because with the people you mix with, your family, your friends, you see all those types of levels of fear and anxiety happening. But what we want to look at today is some basic principles in the scriptures that will help you to overcome fear and anxiety. And we've heard some of that already. Let me say, if some of your anxiety is much more severe, then you may need to meet with a couple of the pastors for prayer and counsel. You may need to take in the Bible, you need to be discipled and taught. And so you could understand your position in Christ, understand what has caused you to be the way you are today from your past. You may need to see a professional Christian counsellor. You may need to see, if it's a biological issue, a Christian psychiatrist. It'd be open to see, to come before God, to allow God to use whatever is necessary to help you in that process. Now, let me go to the scriptures. Firstly, to say that some anxiety in the scriptures is what we might call realistic concern. That Paul says, I am anxious. Well, other believers are anxious and they are concerned, legitimately concerned for brothers and sisters. 2 Corinthians 11. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him, Paul says. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Paul is afraid that the church will go into error. Verse 28, besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern, or the fears, the concerns, the anxiety for all the churches. Now the Bible, when Paul says this, it simply describes it. There's no critique of it as it being sinful or wrong. It's simply Paul expressing his anxiety and his concern for the churches. Philippians chapter 2, he says to them, I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. You know, believers get distressed when other people are upset, and this is impacting his emotions. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him also, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So Paul is anxious because the other believers are worried about their brother, and Paul is feeling that anxiety. 1 Thessalonians 3:5, for this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. Some anxiety is realistic concern for other brothers and sisters. Now, I'm sure Paul, in the midst of that, would go to the Lord for his peace and his strength and for his enabling as well. And maybe you feel that concern for others as well. But we want to talk about overcoming the type of anxiety that is fret or worry. You know, someone said to me this week, he said, what happens if Philippians 4, 6 and 7 doesn't work? Just like this man writes. What happens when it doesn't work? I said, it always works. I believe God's word works. So when you say it doesn't work, I said, what do you mean by that? Is God not powerful to transform your life? Is God not powerful to take away your anxiety and your fears? He is, but the question is, how will that take place? Philippians 4 gives us some principles. Number one, rejoice. I want to say Gary Collins says the best approach is not to simply say, well, I've just done this verse, therefore I should be okay, but to focus on activities and thoughts that indirectly reduce anxiety. Indirectly reduce anxiety. Because when you focus on your fear, when you focus on your anxiety, you will not overcome it because you will be focused on the negative fear and anxiety. You need to move beyond that problem that is there, going outside of it to God and to other ways of dealing with that, and in a sense pushing that aside because you're busy doing other things. And the first thing you ought to do as a believer is to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. See, when things are tough with your children or with money or with work or with an enemy, then the aim is to rejoice in what God has done for you. Move your mind off that issue to God and his beauty and his salvation and his mercy and his grace and his transforming power and say, God, I'm going to rejoice in what and who you are and what you've done for me in Christ, that I am on my way to heaven, the Holy Spirit lives in me, and I am able in God to live a victorious and a successful Christian life. But you see, when you focus on the problem, you cannot see the beauty and rejoice in God. Secondly, be gentle. You may be thinking, what's this got to do with overcoming things? Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. When you pursue holiness and godliness, and that is your focus, those other fears and frustrations and anxieties will be removed. Many times, anxieties come from looking at the negatives in life. Looking at negative people who impact you, or someone at work who says the wrong thing to you and upsets you and makes you anxious and fearful, and you want to fight back and you want to retaliate, and the Word of God says, be gentle to everyone. Don't play that game. If you act in a godly, gentle way towards others, if you are not abrasive, if you are not pushy, if you do not demand your rights, if you do not condemn others, if you are like Jesus, then that new outlook will help you to fight anxiety and to reduce it. But verses 6 and 7, these key verses, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. God says, whatever your need is, bring it to him. Is it a child? Is it a work? Is it an illness? Whatever is your fear? Is it a lack of self-esteem? Is it the sense like we heard in the testimony that, you know, I mean, you had a whole ton of things there that God can take and transform, but it's your biblical perspective of who you were. You grasp the biblical perspective. God broke into your life through the ministry of the Spirit and the Word and help you to see things differently. But you bring those requests. And God says, when you do that with thanksgiving for all God has done for you, The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, a few years ago when some of us were on a short-term team to Bali and we arrived and Ada said to us, I had some people come to threaten us just the day before you guys arrived. They told me they knew why I was here and they're going to cause trouble for us. And we were a team just arrived on the island and we met for prayer. I'll tell you what we did. We're not anxious at all. No problems. Enemies of Jesus, yeah, in a strange land. We were anxious, all right. We were fearful. What do we do now? We thought we came to a nice holiday destination to do some ministry. All of a sudden, the gates, front gates are locked. We're not letting anyone in. You know what we did? It starts with P. We prayed. We said, God, you are bigger than all of this. God, you know this. You know this. You know this. God, we're bringing that to you. We're casting our anxieties upon you because we don't know where else to turn. And as we did that, as we constantly, day after day, call out to God, God gave us his peace. We were able to be effective in ministry. And that concern, that fear of what may have taken place, was eliminated. I remember Chuck Swindoll tells a story, and one of my favourite stories that he tells about his daughter being in an acrobatic group, a pyramid formation at a school, and his daughter was at the top of this pyramid in a cheer squad thing. And it collapsed underneath. Her daughter fell down and she damaged one of her vertebrae. She landed on the ground, she hit her head and she couldn't feel anything. And he said, I received a phone call. My wife was away and I raced off to the school. And this is what he said. He said, en route to the school, I prayed aloud. I called out to the Lord like a child trapped in an empty well. I told him I would need him for several things, to touch my daughter, to give me strength, to provide skill and wisdom to the paramedics. Tears were near the surface, so I asked him to calm me, to restrain the growing sense of panic within me. First thing you do, fear and anxiety, go to God. As I drove and prayed, I sensed the most incredible realization of God's presence. It was almost eerie. The pulse that had been thumping in my throat returned to normal. When I reached the school parking lot, even the swirling red and blue lights atop the emergency vehicles didn't faze my sense of calm. I ran to where the crowd was. And said, I met my daughter. She said, Daddy, I can't feel anything. He said, normally I would have been borderline out of control. I wasn't. Normally I would have been shouting for the crowd to back away or for the ambulance driver to get her to the hospital immediately. I didn't. With remarkable ease, I stroked the hair away from her eyes and whispered, I'm here with you, sweetheart. So is our Lord. No matter what happens, we'll make it through this together. I love you, Carissa. He goes on to finish the story. They went to hospital and she's made a full recovery. But he said, and we just prayed and prayed. But he also said, it's amazing, late Saturday night, I think it was, or Friday night. He said, Sunday was around the corner. I was exhausted by Saturday night. But God enabled me. He says, amazing. God the Holy Spirit filled me, took control, gave great grace, calmed fears, and ultimately brought wonderful healing to Carissa's back. He said, I preached the next morning. So the Lord gave me the words and he proved his strength in my weakness. I'm told by our audio tape department that that particular message remains one of the most requested sermons on tape of all the messages I've delivered since I became the pastor of that church in 1971. In the midst of intense fear, anxiety, stress, you call upon God and God comes and releases his grace to you. He goes on, he says, think. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Anxiety often comes when we think about human weaknesses and sins and failures. What Paul says, guys, can you just focus on being godly? Focus on being godly. Focus on positive, biblically based thinking, and life will be different. And he says also, act, verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, he says, get on with Christian living. Don't focus and stay focused on this thing that is the fear and the anxiety. Move away from that. Be active in Christian living. He goes on verse 11 and 12 to tell us to be content. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Sometimes I feel more stressed than other times. And God says to me, be content. Sometimes you pursue something, you chase it, and you chase it, and all of a sudden God stops you. He says, does it really matter if you don't get that? I said, I always thought that was a big thing. I wanted God. But yeah, you're right. If I don't get that, it doesn't matter. If you don't win that event, it doesn't matter. If you don't achieve that bigger house, it doesn't matter. Paul says, be content. The Spirit of God can give you that contentment. Paul says, how do you get that? By relying on God's strength. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Friends, you don't do it in your own power. You do it in God's power as you let him minister in your life. Verse 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Let me move you briefly to another passage, 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. It says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Okay, similar thing as we had in Philippians. Be humble, recognize that God is God. Don't demand of God. Don't be arrogant and self-confident. Just be humble before God. God is big and powerful. He's got a mighty hand. He can deal with your issues and your problems. Don't try and fix it on your own. He cares for you. In fact, he loves you so much that Christ died for you. Stop worrying, he says. Turn your eyes towards God and cast your anxieties on him. I just picture sometimes with anxieties that I may have or others may have, I say, just picture God standing there. And he says, you know, you see his feet, and God says, you know your burdens, your fears, just pick them up. Just walk them to the feet of Jesus and just lay them there. We always want to fix up everything ourselves, and sometimes we just need to say, God, I lay them at your feet. God, will you please take them and you please transform me? And he will lift you up. That's the picture. You come humbly before him, say, God, I can't deal with this. And he will lift you up. Matthew 6, 25 to 34 is that passage where Jesus tells us not to worry, but rather seek first the kingdom of God. I tell you, don't worry about your life. Now, when someone says that to you, you think, man, I've got a lot to worry about. What do you mean, don't worry? But Jesus' words, not mine. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Are you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Friends, that's the biblical perspective. And God corrects me using that text all the time. When I pursue things and I'm not happy, I'm not satisfied, I'm stressed, or I'm anxious, or I'm fearful, I don't have enough, or I have too much. That doesn't often happen. God says, don't worry, it's okay, be content. Seek first his kingdom. Seek the things of God, seek the spread of the kingdom, seek the salvation of the lost, seek the spread of the gospel to the nations. Seek those things and God will give you all that you need, even though you may not get what you want. Because God is a great provider. And friends, finally in Romans 8, and that verse was referred to earlier, we need to find our ultimate security in God and his plans and purposes. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Let me make some statements. You miss out on that job you want? If you don't get it, why is that? God is making you more like Jesus. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. The good that God is working in you is to make you like Christ. You didn't marry and you wanted to marry, God is making you like Jesus. You have a life-threatening illness, God is making you like Jesus. You lost money in the share market crash, God is making you like Jesus. When you get that biblical perspective that God is able to work in all things, in good things, in evil things, And even using what your enemies do to you for your good, to make you like Jesus, that gives you confidence to go on. And nothing can separate you from his love, Romans 8:35 says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Or trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Friends, your confidence is that God has a plan for you, no matter what happens, and that nothing will separate you from his love. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What can they take from you? What are you afraid of? They can take your money. They may even take your life. But nothing can separate you from what you have in Christ Jesus. John Piper called anxiety unbelief. Like a lot of other things, he calls it the unbelief of anxiety. And he says the way we handle that is with the promises of God. I'm going to read a number of anxious things that he refers to and how he deals with it with the promises of God as we conclude. He says, when I am anxious about some risky new venture or meeting, I battle unbelief with the promise, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. When I'm anxious about my ministry being useless and empty, I fight unbelief with a promise. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it will not come back to me empty, but will accomplish that which I purpose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Isaiah 55:11. When I am anxious about being too weak to do my work, I battle unbelief with the promise of Christ. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. When I am anxious about decisions I have to make about the future, I battle unbelief with the promise, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Psalm 32:8. When I am anxious about facing opponents, I battle unbelief with the promise, if God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. When I am anxious about being sick, I battle unbelief with the promise that tribulations work patience, and patience approvedness, and approvedness hope, and hope does not make us ashamed. Romans 5:3-5. When I am anxious about getting old, I battle unbelief with the promise, even to your old age I am he, and to grey hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and I will save. Isaiah 46:4. When I am anxious about dying, I battle unbelief with the promise that none of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose again, that he might be Lord of both of the dead and of the living. Romans 14. Finally, when I am anxious that I may make shipwreck of my faith and fall away from God, I battle unbelief with the promise. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ. He who called you is faithful, he will do it. He is able for all time to save those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that your word has many promises of how you can sustain us through fear and through anxiety, through stress, through the normal experiences of life, but even through some of the traumatic experiences of life. You can help us move beyond those experiences to put our confidence in you, to know and believe that you are able to work in all things for the good of making us like Jesus. And Lord God, I pray especially for anyone this morning who is just facing a stressful situation, a worrying situation, an anxious situation. And Lord, they can't see beyond that, and it dominates their thinking, their physical reactions, their emotional reactions. Lord, I ask that this morning you might break into their lives, that they would come before you and claim your promises and live in light of your promises, and by your Spirit have the peace of God that transcends all understanding. And I pray it in Christ's name for his glory. Amen.